Hey, you want that to go?
Our first takeout is on business with Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Morning.
It turns out that distracted driving is actually a business story. Listen.
You're about to enter the exciting world of mobile animated display. We've taken the concept of billboard advertising and made it come alive with lights and sound and movement. Animated messages move across our mobile billboards in a way that demands attention and promises to change the world of advertising forever.
Great for advertisers, but perhaps not so much for drivers. The series in the New York Times called Driven to Distraction is all talking about the growth of this animated digital advertising on roads across America. What have you found?
So they are growing. Digital billboards, some people are calling them, you know, like internet on a stick. The companies that are the companies that are distributing these, even one of them, Lamar Advertising, that's a huge advertising company, they proudly said, you know, this is like a slide projector. And if you think about it, all day long when we walk around now, we see TV screens everywhere. We see them in the elevators we go. We see them in the shopping malls, the airplanes.
Bus shelters.
Yes, everywhere. But the problem is, alongside the highway, there are some real safety concerns. The Federal Highway Administration is looking at this. They're planning an eye-tracking study for the summer where they're actually going to install cameras in people's cars to see if their eyes stray extra long to look at these digital billboards.
How would they set the standard? I mean, the number there must be a little tough because, I mean, advertisements are supposed to distract you.
That's right. But, you know, since the 60s, if you remember, there were some big beautification efforts of the highway system in the 1960s.
Sure.
They capped the number of billboards at 450,000. And this has been this thing that reigned in advertising. Yes, for decades, you know, advertisers couldn't really up the ante on roadside advertising. And what these digital billboards allow advertisers to do is up the ante. There's about 2,000 of them now. Some people think it may become 10% of the signs on the highway eventually. And each sign can feature ads from, you know, 10 different advertisers. Cycle them through the day, show you coffee advertisements in the morning, beer advertisements in the night, you know. And so what they do is it really allows advertising to take the next level. The question is it safe?
They could read your license plate and figure out if you need to pay your credit card bill
and put that on the billboard.
Oh, that'd be pleasant, right?
You know, just before you go, Louise, you know, we've been talking about numbers all morning on the program. You do this as a matter of living. You look at numbers on balance sheets and economic statistics, and you have to make those numbers tell a story. How do you do that?
Well, you usually look for numbers to move in a direction. And what's actually been very difficult about this recession is so many different trending statistics haven't trended. You know, the housing numbers keep pointing different ways, bumping up and down, but you look for a trend. The other thing about numbers that kind of fascinates me is I think that in so many ways it's what separates society. I mean, more money you have, that's a number. More IQ you have, that's a number. We looked at percentiles, you know. So numbers actually often divide people. And, you know, when you improve society, it's often when you're moving the numbers around.
Well, numbers divide. Maybe coming together is not a matter of numbers. It's a matter of humanity.
Well, you know, we're going to go to the next person here who also deals with numbers all the time, and that's Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. And the numbers are definitely trending in favor of UConn. Not that there's any surprise that UConn is doing well at basketball, but the UConn women seem to be, even more so than usual, dominating college basketball for women.
It's true. Last night they beat Notre Dame 76-51 in South Bend to record their 69th win in a row, which means that they are one win away, which should happen this Sunday. They're one win away from tying a record that was set by the UConn women's team in 2001 and 2003 of having the most consecutive victories in women's college basketball.
So this school is about to break their own record.
They are about to. And on the tip of numbers, they're anchored by Tina Charles, who's their all-American, all-everything center. And she, last night, not only did they win, but she also passed the leading Nikisha Sales as the storied program's leading scorer with 2,184 points. And she passed Rebecca Lobo as the leading rebounder with 1,273 rebounds. So this is not only is it they're getting consecutive wins, but they're also breaking records along the way.
Now, how are the men's basketball doing? Are they living up to the women?
Well, with UConn?
Yeah, with UConn.
Well, this year is not quite the best year for the UConn men's team, whereas a couple years ago they did a double. They had a dual championship. That's not going to happen this year. The UConn men aren't quite that good.
No. Okay, so who is doing well in men's basketball for college sports?
We touched on it yesterday. Syracuse is the best team in college basketball.
Well, and Kansas is number one, aren't
Kansas
they?
Kansas is not number one anymore. Syracuse has now been
number
one. Oh, really?
Ranked.
Oh, they did?
They
oh, I
they
thought they were going to give them the number
rank.
One even though they lost.
They're in the number one spot.
Wow.
And we were talking, and so the Syracuse is interesting because what they do well is what a lot of teams don't do well. They have a very balanced attack. So they have a very good inside game and an outside game. And they're extremely deep. So they can pull two or three guys from the bench. If you look at their minutes.
Oh, a deep bench.
Exactly.
Right.
So if you look at the minutes that they're playing, they're pretty balanced across the team. So they have about seven or eight guys that play around the same amount of minutes. And all of those seven or eight guys can put up double figures at any given moment. So you never know who's going to really come through on any given day for Syracuse. That's why I like them. They play great defense. They have the 2-3 zone. They're really hard to score on. And they're playing really as a solid unit. So right now, in terms of college basketball, men's college basketball, they're definitely not as dominant as the UConn women. I don't think any team in history will be as dominant as this UConn women's team. But in terms of men's college basketball, this Syracuse team is the most balanced, the most feared team in college basketball.
And they don't have to worry about injuries, right? Because
they have a deep bench.
I sense there's a backstory here with Ibrahim and Syracuse. Is there something going on here? You got a relative who goes to Syracuse?
Well, okay.
I have insider information, Hawk.
I'm gushing a little bit because I love the Syracuse Orange. And, you know, it's just like when the Yankees won the World Series this past year. It's amazing as a sports commentator to be able to talk about the best team in the land and they're your favorite team.
All right.
Okay. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our takeaway sports contributor. And we are following the numbers, not just in sports and money, but all over the place. The 1,000th American soldier has been killed in Operation Enduring Freedom. That's the war in Afghanistan. And 700 killed in the Chilean quake.
That number's
we're talking
rising.
About, yeah, absolutely. And we're talking about the power of numbers. When have numbers meant a lot to you? Not just in news events, but at any time. Let us know at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to our website, thetakeaway.org.
How old are you? There's a number.
40.